Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to the last episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast for 2019. Happy New Year. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be 2020. And my name is John Hansen. I'm the host of the show. On today's show, we are going to have part three of our interview with Jerry Branum, one of my favorite guests. And we're going to talk about the year 1989. So we're going 30 years back from 2019, as we always do at the end of the year. And on today's show, we are going to talk about a variety of different topics, including, of course, the 1989 Mr. Olympia. This was Lee Haney's, I think, sixth Mr. Olympia in a row. So he tied Arnold Schwarzenegger's consecutive record because he was yet to beat Arnold's record. Of course, Lee went on to win eight Mr. Olympias, and he beat Arnold's record of seven Mr. Olympias. But we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Vince Taylor going in the show for the very first time and taking third place. Rich Gaspari taking fourth place, so he kind of dropped down. And Lee Labrada, one of the best posing routines ever in the history of the Mr. Olympia, taking second place. We're also going to talk about some of the other pro shows that year, including Vince Taylor winning the Night of the Champions, which was his first pro show. Rich Gaspari winning the very first Arnold Classic. The Arnold Classic took place, the very first one took place 30 years ago. And then we're also going to talk about some of the amateur shows, including the MPC Nationals, which was won by Troy Zuccolato, who was our guest on this show just a few weeks ago. And that was Troy's big win, where he won the MPC Nationals and turned pro. So we got a lot to talk about with Jerry Branum. And of course, as we always do with Jerry, we'll go off on several topics. Before we get to that, I do want to mention our sponsor for the show, Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. It's the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe in 2012. You may have heard of their award-winning Fat Burner Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is their two-stage pre-workout, or Vintage Brawn, which is the triple protein isolate powerhouse. It's packed with eggs, milk, and beef protein. Their products have no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Old School Labs is also the home of 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banute and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order when you go to oldschoollabs.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, we did get an email from last week. I'll read that for you guys right now. This was from Sean Bortle. And Sean said, "Hey, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years. I have to say that they keep getting better and better. The episodes with Larry Bernstein and Tony Pearson are on repeat. Driven, the book by Tony Pearson, was an amazing book. I'm competing in classic bodybuilding for my first time this year. What would your fee look like for contest prep coaching? Thank you for your time, Sean Bortle." All right, Sean, thanks for the email. I'm glad you mentioned that because I just decided this year in 2020 to get back into doing more coaching for competitions. As you guys know, I've had a website the last few years where I was offering training and nutrition programs, consultations, where I would help people online and I would help them with their diet and training so they could change their body. But it wasn't really directed towards competition. And now I'm getting back into that for the year 2020. This is kind of going back to my roots. Of course, I started competing when I was 16 years old, and I competed all the way up until just like 3 years ago when I was 53. So I love, obviously, competing, and I competed from being a teenager all the way up to my 50s. So I've got a lot of experience that a lot of other contest prep coaches don't have. And of course, most of my experience was in the natural bodybuilding competitions. So I can really help natural bodybuilders or figure competitors or fitness competitors or bikini, men's physique, whatever. It's all the same thing. We're all trying to get ripped while holding on to that muscle. And I know exactly how to do that. And I can also help you with your posing. So I've got a bunch of different programs on my brand new website, which is johnhansenfitness.com. So if you go to johnhansenfitness.com, check out the programs that I offer. I offer off-season programs. I offer fat loss programs. And I also offer contest prep programs. So Got a lot of stuff on there. I hope you guys go on there, and I hope you contact me at naturalolympia@gmail.com so we can get going for the year 2020. And speaking of that, I have that big contest coming up on johnhansonfitness.com. This is the first ever John Hansen Fitness Challenge. It's going to be a 12-week contest. It will start on January 20th, 2020, and it will end on April 13th. So it'll be a 12-week program. You have to join the contest by January 15th. 5 days before it starts. And when you join the program, you will get 12 weeks of coaching from me for only a $300 fee. $300 is normally what I charge for a one-month program. You will get 3 months of coaching from me each week for only the price of $300. You'll save $600. And you'll have a chance by going into the contest to win some prizes. So Old School Labs has joined up with me. And we are going to offer the person that takes first place, and this will be judged on your before and after pictures, the first place winner will get $200 in supplements from Old School Labs. They'll also get a copy of each one of my books, Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends Volume 1, The MP6 Workout, and Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. They'll also get a copy of my Real Muscle DVD and the Natural Bodybuilding Seminar and Competitions DVD. And you will get interviewed by me for an interview on Skype. And it will also be featured on my website, johnhansonfitness.com, where we'll talk about how you achieved your fitness goal and how you won the contest, how you made such great progress. So that's going to be a great first place winner. The second place winner will get $100 in supplements from Old School Labs. They'll also get a copy of the MP6 Workout and the Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, and they will get a copy of the Real Muscle DVD. And then, of course, third place will get $75 in supplements from Old School Labs. They will get a copy of the MP6 Workout, and they will also get a copy of the Real Muscle DVD. So we got some great prizes, and I want to thank Old School Labs for joining in and offering those supplements to the winners. Old School Labs also offered to give the first 10 people that join the contest, Old School Labs is going to give them a free bottle of Vintage Burn, which is their muscle-preserving fat burner. So you get a free bottle of Vintage Burn when you start your diet. So that's great. So the first 10 people to join will get a free bottle of that. So make sure if you want to enter this contest, head over to johnhansonfitness.com. We've got it right on the opening page. But go to the fitness challenge on the top, and you can enter the contest and be eligible to win these great prizes, as well as getting in great shape for the new year and have 12 weeks of coaching with me. So I hope this really works out. I hope we get a lot of people to go in it. I'm really excited about it. I'm also excited about my seminar I've got coming up. I mentioned this last week. It'll be on March 21st and 22nd in Tampa, Florida at the Powerhouse Gym where I work out. And this is going to cover a variety of different topics. It's going to be a two-day seminar, Saturday and Sunday. First half of the day, we're going to do it in the classroom. And we're going to talk about a lot of different programs, including how to assess your physique, how to maximize your genetic potential. We're going to figure out workout programs that you can make for consistent progress month after month. I'm going to show you how to overcome weak muscle groups. We're also going to talk about nutrition. I'm going to tell you how to organize your macronutrients so you can gain muscle or lose fat. We're going to talk about reaching physical peak condition if you're training for a competition or you're just trying to peak for looking good for the summer. And I'm also going to get into periodization training for both power and hypertrophy. So as you guys know, I've got over 40 years of experience in the bodybuilding world. This will be a classroom education seminar. And after the day is done, we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to go into the gym, and we will cover every body part. On Saturday, we're going to train chest, shoulders, triceps, and calves. And then we're going to come back on Sunday, and we'll do legs, abs, back, and biceps. So we will cover all the key exercises that you need to develop your physique. So I hope you guys will come out to see that if you want to be a part of that. I am offering a discount. The normal price is $595 for 2 days, which is a great deal. But if you sign up before February 1st, you will save $100 and it'll only be $495. And because of the training part of the instruction, we have to limit the class to only 15 people. So if you want to join, be sure you reserve your seat as soon as possible, because once those 15 people are joined up, we will not be able to take more people. And as I said, if you do it before February 1st, you'll save $100. So it's really worth it. All right, so I hope everybody is ready for the new year 2020. This is not only going to be a new year, but a new decade. It's unbelievable how fast the last 10 years have gone by. And I am looking forward to a new year. I've got a lot of plans, and I hope you guys do too. And, of course, we will be here at the Bodybuilding Legends podcast every week to continue these great interviews that we're doing with the legends of bodybuilding. If you can believe it, we've had the show going now for 2.5 years because we started on July 4th of 2017, and now we are going into 2020. It's unbelievable. So next week, I'm going to do that review, the second year anniversary. It'll be like 2.5 years, really, but it'll be the second year anniversary of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and that'll be a two-part show. So we'll do that next week and the week after. We're going to really enjoy that, where we go over some of the best interviews, some of my favorite interviews from the last 2.5 years. All right. And before we get to our interview with Jerry Branum, where we talk about the year 1989, looking back 30 years, I also want to mention we're brought to you by our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. So if you want to feel great, optimize your energies and burn fat and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number, which is 813-922-8939, or you can reach them at their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. Mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. They will give you a free consultation, plus they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right. And I also want to mention I did an interview with Dave Palumbo's RX Muscle. That will be up on Thursday, which will be January 2nd, 2020. So check that out. It'll be on YouTube, and I'm sure it'll also be on rxmuscle.com. We talked about some bodybuilding history again, as we did a couple months ago. Me and Dave talked about the Arnold and Sergio battles. So I'm sure you guys will love that interview. So check that out on YouTube under the RX Muscle page. Also got a chance to talk to Scott McNally earlier in the week, and he's going to have me on his show as well, Advices Radio, not the Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, but the Advices Radio. And we're going to talk about something relating to bodybuilding. And Scott wanted to get me on there to make his listeners aware of my seminar and also the fitness challenge I got coming up. So I want to thank Scott for his support on that. And as you guys can hear, probably hear, I'm getting over a cold. Kind of lost my voice last week, but it's starting to come back now. Training was a little messed up. I probably was off training for about a week. So I'm hoping to get back in the gym this week, actually. I did kind of a workout yesterday, but I'm going to try and get back tomorrow, New Year's Day. I'll be back in the gym and try and get back in shape. And then I'm going to Hawaii in a couple of weeks because it's going to be my parents' 60th wedding anniversary. So I'll be out there for a week celebrating with them. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really lucky to have some really great parents and amazing accomplishment celebrating 60 years of marriage. And they're still healthy, thank God. And they like to celebrate life and go on vacations a lot. So I'm hoping to join them in Hawaii this year. All right. So that is it for our opening. Here's our interview with Jerry Branum, where we talk about the year 1989. And we're going to go back 30 years and talk about bodybuilding history. Here we go. Let's talk about 89. This now is 30 years ago, if you can believe it. Let's talk about the MPC Nationals first. Now, the MPC Nationals started in 82. So by 89, it had been running for 7 years. It was the biggest national level show for the amateurs. It had, by then, it had surpassed the AAU America. Oh, yeah. And Troy Zuccolato was the overall winner in 1989, and he beat out Franco Santoriello in the light heavyweights. You remember those guys?
Was that held in New York, that show?
I'm not sure.
Because there's a famous picture of Troy holding his trophy standing in front of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, okay. It might have been then, yeah.
I think it might have been held in New York, yeah.
I just did an interview with Troy a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I hear that one. I got to listen to that one. Yeah. Troy's a terrific guy, you know.
Very good guy.
I don't know if you talked about his business, his success, but
we did.
I mean, this guy is something else. I mean, when I first saw pictures of his house and his cars, I said, holy Toledo. He started out with some car washers or something like that.
Right.
And I ran into Troy a couple years back. He was at the Olympia just as a spectator, and he was telling me he was starting an anti-aging clinic. I remember
right.
it was
right,
and I guess he did very well with that. You know, I mean, you know, so
he said he was one of the first ones to run those anti-aging clinics. And he did it in some well-to-do areas of California. So
yeah, because this was many years ago. He told me he was. That's very true. And he did very well. I mean, he lives in a mansion. And, you know, he's all these fancy, drives Lamborghinis, these kind of cars. More power to him.
He owns a winery now, Jerry.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Wow.
His own vineyard and everything. His own wine company, yeah.
No, I've always liked Troy. He's just a really great guy. I'm happy for the guy. You know, I'm glad, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he had a nice, rugged physique, good abs, you know.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys, Troy, that... You know, when you see him in person, he looks a lot better in person than he ever did in any photo. Much harder.
Yeah.
But I tell you a funny story. One time we were talking, and he said to me, he was talking about how they just had a shoulder. How Troy Zucker, it was the year he won the NPC. Yeah, and he said the article came out how Troy Zuccarello trains his shoulders. And he said to me, Jerry, there's a problem with that article. I said, why? He says, well, about three or four of the exercises they're showing, I never did them in my life. and he says, and furthermore, the guy who wrote the article wasn't me; it was somebody else.
Yeah,
I never met the guy, and I never spoke to him. So wait a minute, let me get this straight, Jordan. I said, you're telling me that this guy wrote an article on how you train your shoulders and you never spoke to the guy? He says, never. I never met the guy.
Jeez.
And holy cow, it's even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anyone who's been on the inside knows that a lot of the stuff in the magazines was just pure crap. You know, it was just made up.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I never did that. I insisted on interviewing guys.
Yeah.
The only time I ever got in trouble was one time they had a Grand Prix tour. You know how they had the pro shows after the Olympia? And there was one held at the FIBO, you know, that big fitness show they hold in Germany? And the guy who held it, who promoted it, was – who was that guy that was Arnold's friend, the German guy? He had a magazine. I can't remember his name.
Albert Busek?
Busek, that's it. Busek was the promoter that year.
Okay.
So what happened was I didn't go on the tour afterwards. And that year I did not go on the tour. I only went to the Olympia. So I at the night of the champions in New York, I sat in a hotel room with Chris Lund, who was a photographer who was on the whole tour. Because Joe had asked me, Joe said, I want you to do an article on the Grand Prix shows. But Joe, you didn't send me. I wasn't there. How am I going to write it? He says, just interview Chris Lund. He was there, right?
Uh-huh.
So, enough, I met him in the hotel room. I had my tape recorder. And Chris Lund started talking about all the events, something about Bilbao, Spain, where the guys missed the train and had to be sitting there all night. You know, he had some great stories and this and that. So then he talked about the FIBO show. And he says, oh, it was terrible. Nobody showed up. He says, because, you know, they had these booths. You know, and all the bodybuilders who competed were posing in the booths.
Right.
So the people who attended the FIBO figured, why spend money to see the contest?
Right.
Well,
right.
We already saw the guy posing.
Right.
So he says they had like 10 people in the audience. So I wrote that in the article, right? So here it is. Now we're in, where was that? I think I'm in Paris somewhere for another show. I'm sitting at a table with Chris Lund and his wife, right? So, you know, we see all of a sudden, we look at who's walking in, but there's Albert Busek. And so Chris Lund says, watch it, Jerry, Albert Busek is here. He says, and he looks like he's pretty mad. Sure enough, Busek eyes me and he comes storming across the restaurant and he starts yelling at me about why did I say that about the FIBO. And you know, Busek's back is to Lund. Lund is just giggling, he's laughing, and he's cracking up, but you know, he's the one that gave me the information.
Right.
He says, how dare you say that nobody attended and this and that. So I was caught on the spot, so I had to admit it. So I told him right there, I said, Albert, I apologize. I said, but Joe wanted me to do an article on this. You know I did not go on the tour. I was not there. I had to interview somebody, and I kind of glanced at Lund, but I didn't say anything.
Right.
And, you know, I was told this, so I apologize. And I, you have my word, I said to Balber Busick. I will never do that again. I will never write an article about a contest that I did not attend. I realized the mistake. He calmed down. We shook hands. Everything was okay after that.
Wow.
Chris was just cracking up. He almost fell on the floor. He was laughing. He was really funny there. Because Busick had a temper, boy.
Did he really?
I had a show in Australia where he was sitting with his wife. Some guy was trying to, you know, walk through the aisle to get to his seat. He stepped on Busick's wife's foot. And the guy apologized immediately. Busick jumped up. His face got – he started yelling at the guy. I mean, just screaming at the guy.
Yeah.
He stepped, the guy apologized immediately.
Yeah.
What the hell is with this guy? You know, I'm looking, you know. Anyway,
what
can I say? You know, all these personalities.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, Troy had a kind of physique where he said he was really popular with Weider. Weider loved his, because he had the blonde hair, the blue eyes. He had that California look.
And remember, Joe's fetish was big arms.
Yeah,
He loved guys that had big arms. That's why he loved Arnold's. That's why he went, as soon as he heard about Arnold, he went, bring him over.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's the thing. He had Lud Schustrich. A guy named Lud Schustrich was his guy in Europe.
Right.
He threw Rick Wayne to get on. That's how Arnold came to the United States. You know, apparently Joe saw a photo of Arnold's arms.
Yeah.
And his eyes got wide. Let's bring this guy over.
I didn't know that.
Love guys with big arms, Joe. Old.
Yeah.
In fact, I interviewed a guy in one world championship. This guy only got third in the contest, but his arms were so beautiful, so great, that I said that I interviewed him because I know Joe would want a story on the guy.
Right.
Nobody asked me to do it. You probably know this guy. His name was Francis Benfato.
Oh, yeah. I remember Benfato.
He
came
to be one of the most symmetrical.
Right.
I mean,
beautiful.
I mean, talk about beautiful physiques. This guy was a classic bodybuilder. But nobody heard of him back then. He was third place. I was only supposed to interview the winners.
Right.
And sure enough, you know, I said, Joe, look at the photos of this Benfato. And he ran. Sure enough, he ran my article.
Yeah.
Unheard of. The guy gets third and gets an article.
Yeah.
The guy in the class didn't even get an article.
Right, right.
And, you know, when I interviewed Benfato, it was in Cannes, France. He didn't speak any English. And so this guy with him was the editor of the French edition of Weider's magazines. So, you know, he spoke English. I said, could you do me a favor? Could you act as an interpreter? Because Francis doesn't speak English. He says, sure. So, you know, I'm asking questions on how many days a week do you train? And the guy speaks French to Benfato. And then so when I said, how many days a week to train? The interpreter looks at me, he says, cottage cheese. What? Wait, hold on. I asked him how many times a week does he train? Oh, yeah, let me ask him again. So he says French, you know, and he comes back and he says, aerobics. And the whole interview went
God.
And I realized that this guy who was the interpreter didn't understand English.
Right.
Somehow, it took me about 3 hours. I was taking notes. I was able to somehow get an article out of that, which I give myself credit to.
Yeah.
Because out of information I had would fit into a thimble, but I was able to get an article out of that.
Oh my God.
Friends, later on, you know, Benfato came to that and said, I became good friends with him. He's a very nice guy and still in great shape.
Yeah, he is.
Still, yeah. Oh my God, still in tremendous shape.
Yeah.
He told me a couple of years ago, he contacted me, and he said to me, I have a system which allows you, you'd be interested in this too. He said, I have a system that allows you to keep all your muscles, even as you age. You don't lose any muscle. I said, oh my God, Francis, you've got to talk to me about this. I'll write it up. He never contacted me. I don't know what happened. You know, okay. I would love to know what that is.
I'd like to know what that is too.
Yeah, he was always an anti-drug guy too.
Huh? Wow.
He was big on drugs. Yeah, you know, he just I to this day I still would like to know what that system is.
Yeah.
Because the guy looks great. He looks terrific.
Yeah,
he does. He's in late 50s or something, or
yeah,
maybe 60s.
Yeah, gotta be at least. Yeah, he's probably about Murata's age, I would think.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
You know, but never got back to me, so I don't know. Hey, Francis, if you're looking at this video, get back to me.
Yeah. Right. I'm looking at this this list from the Nationals, and Franco Santoriello was the winner. But yeah. Kenny Flex Wheeler was fifth place that year, 1989.
Yeah, it was when he was first starting out. Yeah. Santoriello, I wrote an article on him that year. It was called He Did It for Love.
Uh-huh.
You know, the title was based on the fact that when I interviewed him, he was with his either wife or fiance. I don't know who she was, but he was like madly in love with her.
Oh, really?
And he said that she inspired him to train. And he trained very hard for this contest for her. He kept emphasizing her. He kept bringing her into it.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there smiling. She's not saying anything. And afterwards, I looked at what I had. I said, my God, I'm going to say he did it for love. You know, won his game. So that was a nice guy, too. He was a nice guy.
He had incredible potential. He beat Sean Ray as teenagers.
Oh, yeah. He was a great bodybuilder. Yeah. Great body. Still around. I mean, I see he's on Facebook. But
I did a really good interview with him. He went through a lot. He went to prison. He was addicted to drugs. He was doing drugs all that time when he was competing, if you can believe that.
Drugs?
Yeah. Heroin and all this stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So now he found the Lord, and he's rehabilitated. He wrote a book about it. Yeah. It was a really fascinating interview.
Wow, I had no idea. I didn't see that one.
I'll send that to you. Yeah. And he was open up about everything. You know, he talked about everything. So
I wonder if he's still married to that woman, you know?
I think he met someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he was on all those drugs, it must have been tough for her, you know?
Yeah.
All those drugs and stuff, geez.
Right.
I mean, what can you do? Glad the guy didn't overdose, huh?
Another guy I want to talk about from 89 was Vince Taylor, because Vince Taylor won the Nationals the year before in 88. And so it was his pro debut in the Night of the Champions, and he wins his very first pro show. He beats out Nimrod King, Vince Comerford, Bob Paris, Ron Love. But Vince was one of, I think, the best bodybuilders around that time, right? Just amazing.
I interviewed him after that show, Vince.
Really?
It was me and Julian Schmidt. We both interviewed him, you know, for Weider.
Yeah.
And I remember Vince, I described him as diffident. In other words, he just couldn't believe that he won the show. I said, Vince, what do you mean? He says, I'm just not that good. I can't believe I beat these guys.
Yeah.
I said, do you realize how good you are? He says, I don't think that I'm good enough to be a pro. I said, I don't know. I said, trust me, Julian, do you agree? And Julian, we both, I said, seriously, you're going to be a top pro.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, I couldn't believe the guy. It's not like he, I think he had some sort of warped view of himself where he realized how good he was. It wasn't that he lacked self-confidence. He just somehow looked at the other guys, and he just couldn't properly compare himself to those. He thought he was inferior to them.
Yeah.
In fact, he was better than them.
Yeah, way better, yeah.
I remember him telling me that John Brown, you know the bodybuilder
Sure.
John Brown?
Yeah.
John Brown is the one who got him in the bodybuilding.
Yeah, he told me that story, yeah.
Yeah, and he told me that at the time I interviewed him, he was living in Germany.
Right.
He was still living in Germany. Eventually, I think he said he came from Maryland, where he's that's his hometown.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Maryland, like Kevin Lerone, too.
Yeah.
But, of course, as the years got by, went by, I should say, his confidence grew. I remember, didn't he hold some sort of record for a while competing in the
most? Yeah, he won more pro shows than anyone else for a while.
Yeah. You know, with each win, I mean, the guy who I, let's say, spoke to a couple of years later was not the same guy. I mean, there was no longer any talk of these guys being better than me.
Right.
Instead, it was like, how did this guy beat me? It was like, I'm
60
degrees. Completely opposite.
Yeah.
Nice, very nice guy, Vince. I always liked him also. Great guy.
You know, another show we got to talk about from that year was the Arnold Classic, because that was the year the Arnold Classic started in 1989.
Oh, Rich Gasparri, wasn't
it? Yeah, Rich Gasparri won, and Robbie was second. Gary Stridham, Samir Benoot, and Bob Paris were in it.
Wow, that's a lineup, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you go to that show, Jerry, the first Arnold Classic?
I didn't go. Let me think. I should have been there. I think I was, but I don't really remember, believe it or not. Because if I was writing for Weider at the time, I definitely would have gone to that show.
Yeah,
I think I was there, but I don't. For some reason, don't remember it too much.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
Yeah, so this was this year then was the 30th anniversary for the Arnold Classic.
Wow. Yeah, I used to have a lot of fun going there in Columbus. It was just so cold every year. Very cold over there.
Yeah.
You know, in the hotel. I remember one year, it might have been that year, I think. I was in the hotel lobby. Everybody stayed in the same hotel. And I see John Glenn, the famous astronaut. He was senator. Yeah, he was a U.S. senator.
Wow.
And I think, holy cow, John Glenn. One of the first Americans in space.
Yeah.
I got to go up and shake his hand, you know?
Yeah.
But I was so intimidated by him that I just didn't. And I kind of regretted that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Today, with the cell phones, I would take a photo with him, you know?
Right,
I mean,
right.
But back then, I was like 2 feet away from him.
Oh, man.
And I was afraid to shake his hand. Yeah, John Glenn said he happened to be in that. He was a senator from Ohio. So, you know, the that was the capital of the state, so he happened to be in the hotel that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
Well, the people who go to the Arnold Classic now, they would be shocked if they went to the 89 one because there was no expo. I remember there was nothing, no expo at all. The whole event was at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. There was no convention center back then or anything. And so I remember you got a picture with Arnold. I remember what the price was. It was $150 for VIP tickets. Right. So that was pre-judging, night show. They had the seminar on Sunday.
Yeah.
They had a picture with Arnold. And then the dinner, which was Saturday night, which was in the basement of the Veterans Memorial. And Arnold was there and everybody was there. Yeah.
I remember that dinner. Yeah, I remember the dinner. So, did you remember a sign? You know when Arnold would pose for the pictures where they would line up to pose with Arnold?
Yeah.
Do you ever remember seeing a sign there saying, "Do not touch Arnold"?
Oh, yeah. That came later. Yeah. But I remember in 89, I was competing and I had a polo. I had a pink polo shirt on, right?
Yeah.
And we had to wait in line and then Arnold was like maybe 100 feet away.
Yeah.
So they stopped the line here. And so he talked to everybody, like everybody that came up, like a girl. "Hey, how you doing?" You know, so I come walking towards him. He goes, "Oh, look at the arms on this guy. Come on, hit a bicep pose." So I'm like, I hit a bicep pose, and we took the picture of it. It was great. It was so cool. Yeah. Like the first one was amazing, you know, because he talked to everybody, and then I remember afterwards, like everybody was there. Larry Scott was there, Reg Park, Sergio was there, like all the dignitaries. It was a big deal. And then remember they went on, he went on Jay Leno with Rich Gaspari and Mike Christian. I don't know if you ever saw that, and he promoted the Arnold Classic before the contest, like the week before.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
He really went all out to promote it, you know.
Yeah, Arnold has this thing where he meets you once, you tell him your name, and he remembers it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He has this uncanny ability to remember names, anyone's name. He'll meet you once and remember your name 20 years later.
Wow.
It's almost like these
Bill Pearl's like that too, right?
Yeah, Bill Pearl too, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like these savants where they can play a piano like a classic master, but they can't even write their own name. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not trying to say that Arnold's stupid or anything like that, but it's something in his brain it's an ability, because I'm not that good at that.
No, I'm not either.
See, I learned a psychological trick years ago where if you want to remember somebody's name when you first meet them, use their name 5 times in that first conversation.
Okay.
Just don't make it look unnatural. Like just say, "John, John, 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 John."
Yeah.
Say, "Well, John, this, you know, I think, what do you think, John?" You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly, if you say the name 5 times, you have a much greater chance of remembering.
Right.
I always try and do that, but I got to tell you, 99% of the time, I don't do it, and I'll meet somebody, and 2 days later, I don't remember their name. It's embarrassing because people love it when you remember their names.
Oh, they do.
You
know, yeah.
It's something I always forget to do, but I try to remember to do that.
Yeah.
But Arnold's amazing like that. He remembers everybody's name.
Well, I got a funny story from that first Arnold Classic. I went with my one friend from Chicago, and then there was two couples from Chicago. We all went. And so after the prejudging was over in the afternoon, we were all going to go out to get something to eat. So my one friend said, "Let's go to the Hilton." So we had a walk from the Veterans Memorial to the Hilton Hotel. And it was a long walk. And I remember I was complaining. I was like, why don't we just go over here? You know, there's a restaurant over here. Is it Applebee's or whatever? No. We got to go to the Hilton. Trust me. He kept saying, trust me. We got to go to the Hilton. Well, yeah. The Hilton was where Arnold was staying, and he was staying there too. So we go up to the restaurant, which was, I forget what floor it was, and there's somebody vacuuming in there, and they had it, like, shut down. They wouldn't open it. We go to the front desk, and there's a lady there, and he said, we want to sit for lunch. And she's like, no, we're closed right now. And he goes, hey, listen, we have a room here. This is, you know, we're staying here. I can't believe you're not. So he made a big ruckus. He goes, all right, sir. Well, we'll seat you. So they seat us. There's the whole restaurant's empty except one table. Joe Weider's there with Betty, Lee Labrada. I forget all these dignitaries of bodybuilding. So they must, I don't know if they shut down the restaurant for these people or what, but my mouth's open. I'm like, oh, and he looks at me and my friend, he goes, I told you. I'm just listening to the conversation, you know, and like Lee Labrada was sort of disappointed he didn't go in it because I think he thought he could have beat Rich Gaspari. And so then Arnold and Franco walk in, and they walk in with a couple girls, and the whole room goes quiet, you know. Arnold comes over and he looks at the table and he points at a guy and a girl and he goes, pimp, 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 whore, pimp, pimp. I couldn't believe it. And everybody's like laughing uncomfortably, you know, like it was a bad joke, you know.
And Joe Weider was at that
table? Yeah, Joe Weider, Betty Weider, everything, you know.
God. I hope he didn't call Betty Weider a whore.
I don't think so. It was just like a bad joke, and everybody was laughing because it was Arnold, you know.
That's funny. Yeah. That's Arnold's humor, yeah.
I'll never forget that. And then it was on TV, you know. They put it on TV. Yeah. You know, it was on Wide World of Sports or CBS or whatever, you know. So that was a great event.
It was, yeah.
And I remember Gaspari was only like 205. He was really light.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when he weighed when in that 88 Olympian in LA. He got on the scale. Because I think I told you, he'd been claiming to weigh, I think, 215 or something, or 220.
Yeah,
and he was only 205 on the scale. He kind of made a face. He was a little embarrassed, you know.
And this was right after that, because that was only like a couple months before that.
Right. Yeah. But he was muscular as hell.
Oh, yeah, I thought he deserved to win. I mean, Robbie looked good, too, though, that year. Yeah. But it was close.
I remember asking Rich Gaspari how he got so vascular, you know, all those veins he had.
Yeah.
He says, my father's the same way. He said, just genetics.
Yeah.
He said, what else did he say? I can't remember what else he said. Well, that's it. Yeah. He just said.
His father, very much.
The other thing he said was talk about how he had created, he felt he was one of the first guys to have a striated glutes.
Yeah. Yep.
He says, and he kind of feels a little bad about that. He was telling me because it's like a standard now.
Yeah.
If you don't have striated glutes, you know, you somehow they don't think you're muscular or something.
Right.
He said, it's not an easy thing to do, which is true. You know, I mean, he felt that he almost felt bad about competing like that.
Yeah.
But that's his take. He just happened to be a very muscular guy.
He's the one who created that standard.
Yeah, he's the first one to have striated glutes. Yeah. I think he said, if I remember correctly, his father was a bricklayer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was a masoner, yeah.
Oh, I have a pretty good memory. It's all these years. Yeah.
But don't you think the striated glutes is kind of genetic, Jerry?
Yes.
I do, too.
Because you could train, I was going to say, literally train your ass off.
Yes, that's right.
You know, there's definitely a genetic component, you know.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, for the average bodybuilder to get that, you'd have to lose so much fat that you probably sacrifice some muscle in the process.
Right.
So even if you got your glutes striated, you wind up losing, like, mass on your thighs.
Right,
and
right. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know what I mean? It's just not I think it's largely genetic. Of course, you still have to – I mean, with women – it's almost impossible,
right?
Unless you get your body fat down so low, and you have to use almost. I mean, if they use some sort of androgen, some drugs,
they gotta be.
It makes it a lot easier because women. That's like I say. That's the place where they store more fat than anywhere.
Right.
It's so hard for them to get that look. I mean,
and there's certain guys like Jay Cutler, Melvin Anthony, Lee Priest. Those guys never had striated glutes.
But you know, another guy who had one of the early guys who had really super striated glutes, you might remember this guy, guy named Rinel Janvier.
Oh, yeah, Rinel? Sure, yeah.
Rinel, we hung out at one of the world championships. It might have been Australia. I can't remember. Very quiet but nice guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember he was also one of his were just ridiculous. They were just shredded.
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Close up.
All right.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the Olympia that year, Jerry, because I know you were there that year in Rimini, Italy, and that was Lee Haney's sixth win, I believe, right?
Where was that held?
Rimini, Italy. The one in Italy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a great one. Like
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah, Rimini. I remember that. Rimini, right on the AGFC.
Yeah.
Rimini, yeah. It was beautiful. It looked like a big movie set to me. It was a little town.
Yeah,
and you felt like you were it just didn't look like a real place. It looked like a movie set.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That was the place where I interviewed Lee Labrada. I think I told you the story was it for diet?
He wouldn't tell you his diet.
I asked him to list the exact meals he refused.
Right. You know,
it was outside the hotel on a terrace. I interviewed in Rimini. Yeah,
right.
That's where we were all traveling in a van. To get to the contest, we went through, what was that famous town, city? I can't remember. It's known for the fashion. I can't remember. We had to go through there to get to Rimini.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped at a restaurant, a real Italian restaurant in Italy. And Bill Dobbins, everybody ordered it, you know, all the fancy Italian dishes.
Yeah.
And I said to the waiter, I said, can I get just a plain pasta with just tomato sauce, nothing else? And it was like a scene out of the movie, almost like the whole restaurant went silent. And everybody in the group's looking at me like I'm nuts.
Right.
You're in Italy without the best Italian food in the world, and you're ordering plain pasta? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? That's the look they were giving.
Right.
But I didn't like all the stuff they put in me. You know, they put in fish. You know, I just wanted a bowl of spaghetti, but you can't. Who's off the corner? Hold on. And for some reason, let me turn this off. Okay. Anyway, you can't. You know, what can I say? I just wanted to play. It was a funny thing, though. You know that it happened. But,
right.
Yeah, that was a great contest. I really liked that. I remember that show. The platform. They had one of those platforms that kind of the stage where it kind of runs. You know how they have that?
Oh yeah, I remember seeing the video of that.
Kind of runs into the audience.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the press section right under the judges. The problem was the stage was so high that, you know, where the judges were, they were looking up at the guy where you could not see. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just imagine, this is the way you were looking at the body.
Wow, yeah.
And it's not a good assessment of their physique. And when I wrote the contest report, I said, the judges should have been further back.
Right.
Because, you know, you can't really judge it when you're looking up the guy's nose for crying out.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't really see. But that's one thing. But I remember the guys walking out on that extended
Broadway, yeah,
platform,
right,
posing
right.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing the video of that. And I forget who was the one who did it first. But after the one guy did it, they all did it, you know. And then when they did the pose down, they were all running out there, yeah.
They were all running out. That's right. I stands out. I do remember that, yeah. And Lee looked great as usual, you know. He looked terrific. You know, he was always the guy.
He was a little heavier that year, wasn't he? He was bigger, but a little heavier. Yeah.
He looked a little heavier. Not quite as hard, but pretty big.
Yeah, real big,
I think he weighed about 245 or something. He was, you know, pretty big. Pretty
big. I heard he was like 250 something. I thought he was even bigger.
Yeah, he might have been 250. That's right.
Yeah.
It was one of his bigger years, as a matter of fact.
Right.
He was actually bigger there than when he was the last year when he won the 91.
91, right. Yeah.
When he, during Yates, he was a little smaller than you. But he wanted to come in harder because he knew that Yates would be in hard shape. So That might have been the biggest he ever was.
I think it was, And I remember there was some controversy afterwards because some people have said Labrada should have beat him. But I don't know. I mean, Lee Haney next to Lee Labrada is like he's so much bigger. It's hard to believe that Labrada would beat him, you know.
I don't know. Is that the contest where one of the judges told me that Lee beat him on the posing? I don't know if that was the
I think it was the next year, 90.
Oh, 90. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was 90. That's right. Right.
But speaking of posing, Labrada had an amazing – I think that was one of his best posing routines ever. I don't know if you remember. He had like two songs together. He must have been out there for 5 minutes. It was flawless. It was amazing.
And the way he segued from bows to bows. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It almost looked like a ballet dance. Yeah,
it really did.
It's like living art.
Yeah.
You know, he was really a master.
You never see anybody pose like that today. Nobody.
Nobody. Is there anybody who was a good poser today? I can't think of any. Can you?
Well, nothing like that.
Nobody like that.
No.
You had guys back then. Remember, Muhammad Mukhali was another one.
Yeah.
What a great poser he was.
Yeah.
Chris was a pretty good poser, too. Chris Dickerson.
Oh, yeah. Very good, yeah.
Lee Heaney was a terrible poser.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fantastic physique, but horrible poser.
Well, he had good transitions, though. He had good, powerful poses.
Well, he didn't try and put any art into it. It would just be flexing, you know, hard flex, mm-hmm. In other words, like Lee, he made like very smooth motions.
Yeah.
Lee was very static, Lee Haney, very static.
Okay.
But of course, it really didn't make much difference with him because he had that physique.
Right.
He could there be posing, drinking a soda out of a straw and he still went.
Right, right.
It makes no difference. He had the physique.
I think that was one of Lee Labrada's best Olympias ever. I think he looked amazing. Too. Yeah.
He really perfected it that year. Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I interviewed Vince Taylor, and Vince was pretty close to Lee Haney. And he said they were kind of worried that about Gasparri because they were holding it in Italy. And they thought they were going to give the title to Gasparri because it was in Italy. And Lee Haney was telling Vince Taylor, he goes, you know, you're new to this. You don't understand. He goes, there's some weird stuff that can go on. You never know what can happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But interestingly, Gasparri was second 3 years in a row, but that year he dropped down to fourth. So that was the beginning of his decline, really.
I can understand where Lee would feel that way, Gasparri, Italy. I mean, there had been some, like that thing in Essen, it was a German promoter and right. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Arnold, the Austrian man who came from Munich, wins over Sergio.
Yeah.
I could see where I'm sure Lee Haney was familiar with that.
Yeah.
So I could see where he'd be a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah.
But,
and then Vince Taylor told me another story. He said before he turned pro, he went out to the he was living in Germany, and he was into bodybuilding, and I don't think he was a pro yet. This was before he won the Nationals. I can't remember what, I think it was 86. I think the Miss Olympia was being held in Madison Square Garden in New York. So him and his girlfriend traveled from Germany to New York to see the Miss Olympia. And they were in the elevator from the parking lot going up to the hotel. And the elevator stops and Juliet Bergman and Rich Gasparri get into the elevator.
Right.
So Vince Taylor's like, wow, it's Rich Gasparri. So he goes, he looks at Rich Gasparri and he goes, man, my friends are never going to believe I met Rich Gasparri. He goes, how you doing, Richie? And he puts his hand out and Gasparri turned the other way. Didn't even look at him. Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
Wow. Yeah. And he was Vince Taylor was so embarrassed. And then the elevator opened, they walked out and he was so pissed. Like when I did the interview with him, he was still mad about it.
I'm shocked, but not completely, because it reminds me of an incident I saw. I don't know if you remember, they had for a while out here, they had a Weider bodybuilding camp.
Yeah, I remember
At Loyola University. They took the basketball gym, or basketball, and they set up an entire gym there. And they'd have top bodybuilders come out and interact with the public and train them.
Right.
Actually train them, or whip them at the So I went there once with a good friend of mine, a guy named Mike. We went there, and Mike was, not a competitor, but, he knew the bodybuilders. And, Rich Gasparri knew me because I had done some stories on him. He comes up to me, starts talking. So this guy, Mike, was a really friendly guy. One of those guys that was friendly to everybody, And he starts to talk to Rich, and Rich never answers and keeps looking at me. He would not even acknowledge the guy was standing there the whole time.
Wow.
And after about three times, my friend caught on and just went silent. And then afterwards, he says to me, my friend says, what's with Rich Gasparri? How come he never even looked at me? He didn't even acknowledge me. I said, I don't know. He's usually a really friendly guy. I can't explain it. But my friend's feelings were a little hurt.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even acknowledge him. He wouldn't even look at him.
Right.
I don't know why Rich, I can't explain that, because Rich was always a nice guy to me. Always. Right.
Me too. Yeah.
And I got to tell you a funny thing about Rich. It was one of the fitness expos. His most recent wife, I think it is. I don't know if he's back with her or not, but he was then. They were then engaged, right? I'm telling you, so you see the similarity.
Okay.
So Rich is in a booth. He had his company already. You know, his supplement company. Yeah. What's the name of it again? I don't even remember.
Gaspari Nutrition.
Anyway, so, you know, he sees me. Hey, Rich. Hey, Jerry. How you doing? You know? He says, Jerry, let me introduce you to my fiance. So I'm looking at a dark-haired pretty woman. I say, hi. I extend my hand. I'm Jerry Branum. John, she did the same thing to me that Rich did to Vince Taylor. She turned her back and walked away.
Wow.
She wouldn't even say hello to me.
Wow.
And Rich was really embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know what to say. So, you know, we just stood looking at each other for a second. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. So I immediately changed the subject.
Yeah.
I didn't say, everything was okay. So I ran into Rich at Joe Weider's memorial, you know, a couple of years ago. He was there. And we were talking. I said, you know, Rich, because, you know, this woman turned out to be a lot of trouble for him. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
he got divorced.
A lot of trouble. She turned out to be the worst choice he could have ever made. Right. So I said to him, Rich, I said, I know it's been a while, but I got to tell you, you know, think back. You remember when you introduced your then fiance to me? I said, do you remember how she turned and walked away? He says, yeah, I'm really sorry. But I said, Rich, what I wanted to do, I said, because, you know, we were like friends, not just a professional relationship. I said, Rich, it took all my willpower not to grab you, take you aside and say, whatever you do, don't marry that woman. She's going to be very bad for you.
Right.
If she sees people like this, you're in for a hell of a life.
Right.
You know, you know what he said? He laughed and he said, Jerry says, why didn't you tell me that? It's a funny story, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not forgetting. He said he took an instant dislike to get. That's the way I felt. I still don't like her.
Right.
I mean, that was a very rude thing to do. Yeah. Very rude.
Yeah.
What the hell is her problem?
Yeah.
If I liked Rich so much, I would have said something, but Rich was a nice guy. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't say. I just I acted like I didn't notice him.
Yeah.
But just a terrible thing. You don't do that to people.
No.
You know?
No.
Horrible. I wouldn't even acknowledge her today.
Yeah.
Even if somebody came, hey, this is Rich's. I go like this. I just turn away. And that's not me. I don't do that.
Right.
But I would do it to her.
Right.
It takes more medicine. Well, that, I really make her feel bad. So what?
Well, at the Olympia that year, it was funny because then Vince beats Rich in the first Olympia.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
He kind of got his revenge.
that's a good poetic justice thing there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But some other guys in that show, Ben Azizu was in the show. I think that was, that wasn't his last year. He died in 92, so he died a few years later. But that was the first year, I think, where Ben Azizu came out and made the top five, you know.
What year was that?
89.
Yeah. Was that the, wait a second, let me think. No, he won the Night of the Champions in 90, didn't he?
90, yeah. Ben,
yeah, that's when I first saw him.
But the year before, I think he was like, I don't know. You know, I don't even think he made the top 10 the year before. So he really jumped up and he took fifth place. And he beat Mike Christian and he beat Mike Quinn and he beat Brian Buchanan. So it was a shock. You know, he beat a lot of guys.
Wow. He had a lot of muscle on that
guy. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
What? A lot of muscle. Nice guy, too. But, you know, had a fatal flaw. I thought the drugs were safe.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, really, he's almost like a child, that guy. Really, I don't mean that he's retarded, but he was just
quality.
Enthusiastic about bodybuilding and stuff like that. I mean, when I spoke to him, he didn't speak English. His girlfriend translated for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy. I liked him. I felt terrible when he died. You know?
Yeah.
Horrible. I was there when he beat Yates at the Night of the Champions.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was there, yeah. That was the first time I met Yates at that show.
Okay.
Yeah. I told you that story, right, when I met Yates?
I don't think so.
I didn't tell you at the 90s?
No.
I was in the hotel lobby. You know Peter McGuff, right?
Yeah,
you know,
sure. Peter, yeah, we've had him on the show.
British guy working for the magazines also. He was at the contest. So he comes up, he says, Jerry, I want you to meet this guy from England, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, here we go. And then another nothing guy that he, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I said to myself, all right, I'll go up to the elevator. So we knock on the door. We go in this hotel room. First thing I see is a woman sitting across the room. And there's Yates is standing there in a bathrobe. Never heard of him. Never met him. I have no idea who he is. So, you know, I'm thinking he's going to be another mediocre guy that's probably going to play 16th in the contest or something,
right,
you know.
Right.
So Peter goes, hey, Dorian, show Jerry how you look. He takes off the bathrobe, and I almost fall on the floor. I'm thinking, where did this guy come from?
Wow.
I said, holy Toledo. I said, and then I look, I see his calves.
Yeah.
They were gigantic. I said, those are genetic, right? He said, oh, no, they were very small when I started. I said,
oh, okay. Yeah.
He said, they're only 17 inches. I said, 17 inches? When you started? But you know, he was a really nice guy. His wife's name, I think, was Debbie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he introduced me, I said, "Good luck in the show." But I said to myself, "I said this is the guy to beat." I said to McGuff on the way down.
Yeah.
I said, "Where did this guy?" He says, "Wait, well, he's a pretty new guy. He's, you know, he won a couple of British shows. He's, you know, he's turning pro, and he's just one of those guys that kind of keeps to himself and comes out every so often."
Yeah.
I said, "My God, what a physique! This guy's world class."
Yeah.
He can win this whole thing.
Wow.
Of course, I'm bad as to beat him, but he got second.
Yep.
Yeah. So, wow. You know, that was the first time I met Dorian Yates.
Oh, wow, that's great. I never heard that story before.
Yeah. Tremendous physique.
How do you feel, Jerry, when you look back at these shows from 69, 79, 89, and you think, I mean, isn't it kind of nostalgic when we see how bodybuilding was?
Oh, yeah, very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, It's almost hard to believe all these years have gone by.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the people that were born that are adults now, they're adults, some of them have kids.
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day in the gym, and they mentioned they were born in 97. I'm thinking, 97.
Right.
I stopped writing for the magazine today, and this guy was just being born.
Born, I know.
It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's me, but it seemed like it was a nicer time to me back then. It was like more fun, you know?
Yeah.
I really used to enjoy going to those contests. I mean, it was just a great thing. You know, you get on the plane, you hang around.
Yeah.
I enjoyed staying in hotels. I didn't mind it at all.
Right.
You know, you go to the dining room and everybody would be eating and we'd all talk. It was, going to all these shows and meeting people from all over the world.
I
get very nostalgic about that. I miss that, you know. There were different times back then. In other words, today, you got to be concerned about, you know, terrorists and, you know, all that kind of crap.
That didn't exist.
That was more innocent time, if you ask me.
For sure.
I mean, you had an occasional plane hijacking, but usually they were going to Cuba, so they weren't on my route, so I didn't worry about it.
We talked about 79, and you know, I was in Columbus that year, and I was, I think, 16 years old. And I think about all the people that were in the show, and now a lot of them are gone. You know, that's sad. Yeah. You know, when you think about, like, you mentioned Oscar State, Reg Park, Larry Scott, Joe Weider, Joseph Wilcox is gone now, and Franco and Ed Corney. It's just, you know, it's sad. Yeah. And then you think how innocent it was then, you know. You'd see, you know, well, just like taking the picture with Arnold. I mean, that was just so cool, you know.
Yeah,
and he'd talk to you, and, you know, he told me I had big arms and flex the bicep. Yeah. Come on, flex the bicep, you know. And then, and then 89, you know, I went, well, we were talking about that Arnold Classic, and, you know, 79. And it's just, it is really nostalgic when you think back.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just really so sad that all these guys are gone, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, I can't believe it's been, you know, 30, 40 years since those
guys.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I know, it's shocking. You know, you wonder, on the other hand, you wonder, what's bodybuilding going to be like 40 years from now?
I know.
Will it even exist?
I know.
I mean, what if, worst case scenario, these guys start getting really crazy on the drugs and they start, like, dropping off like flies.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, what might happen is that, the big bodybuilders, the pros, will just kind of go the way of the dinosaur.
Right.
It'll be considered so dangerous that it will become extinct.
Right.
And what you're going to be left with is the men's physique and the classic bodybuilders.
Yeah.
But they use drugs too.
A lot of drugs. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's what's going to happen with that. I don't know. Right. You know? But I'll tell you, it might sound funny, but I was actually happy to hear that they're bringing back the Miss Olympia.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I felt bad when, I understood why it kind of died out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looked at the women, it was very, hyper-masculine type of look and androgynous, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know, I just feel that maybe it's because I go back to the beginning of that contest. You know, it's almost like they're bringing an old friend back. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I covered a lot of the Miss Olympias with Guida, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy about that. I just hope that somehow the women don't get too, if they could keep the bodies a little bit less extreme, what I mean? You know, because we all know what it takes to get that look, and that's what bothers me, you know?
Yeah.
If it was just pure bodybuilding,
which it was in the beginning.
It was, the days of Rachel, even Corey. That would be really nice. I unfortunately, I guess the hardcore girls, but it gives them something to compete, more power to them. But I just hope that Tony dial it back a little bit so they're just not quite as they were in the last couple of years, which caused the contest itself to become extinct.
Right.
So I have to see what happens there,
I was on social media yesterday, and I saw a picture of a guy who's – I don't know who the guy was. I don't think they even mentioned his name. But somebody posted this picture. He was 25 years old, and he was doing a side chest pose. This guy was so big, it didn't look real. Like, his forearms had, 10 muscles on top of it. His arms looked like they were 30 inches. And then somebody made a comment. One guy said, I hope the guy doesn't get hurt, health-wise. And then another guy made a comment, and he goes, well, I understand that bodybuilding is all about extremes, and this is what it takes. And I thought, no, that's not what bodybuilding is. And it's just sad that someone who's younger, who's gotten into bodybuilding maybe the last 10 years or 20 years, they automatically think this is what it is. But it was never supposed to be that way. It was always supposed to be about building a beautiful body, and it's gone so far from that now. It's not even close to that anymore.
Well, that's why they have these classic bodybuilding men's physique to get away from that. But, I thought that was a good direction to go in. I guess I still do. But, it's gotten back to me. Some of these guys are taking drugs that aren't that different than the pros are taking. But they just don't get as big or something.
The shorts are getting shorter. You notice that?
Yeah.
So now they're going to get bikini pretty soon. They're going to be showing the glutes, and that's going to have the stride. And then,
it's a progression. That's true.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's not really surprising that bodybuilding evolved to this degree, because if you look at anything else, there's always people that are trying to set the bar higher. Everything.
Right.
Climb the highest mountain.
Right.
Find the fastest car. It's something in human psyche that makes us want to go take it to another step.
Right.
So like it says in the old Star Trek, to go where no man has gone before.
Right.
You always want to be the first, and unfortunately that's built in, but you have to look at the price to pay to get like that. That's the way I look at it. See, honestly, when I got into bodybuilding many, many years ago, they didn't have that kind of look, and the biggest guy was a guy like Bill Pearl, Reg Park. Those are the big guys.
Right.
If they had guys walking around like these guys, like the guy you described, there's a good chance I probably wouldn't have even begun bodybuilding, because I would have said, I don't want to look like that.
Right.
I was ignorant, but I didn't know about drugs and steroids, but I just didn't want to look like that.
Right.
Just too much already.
Right.
I want a nice physique like Bill Pearl, Reg Park, where you look big, you look impressive, but you don't look like you're like none of the human species. I don't like that look. I mean, there's a part of me, I won't deny, that I give them credit for even being able to develop that much muscle. As a former bodybuilder myself, I look at them in awe, and no matter what they're doing, whether it's drugs or whatever, I say, geez, I could never even come close to looking like that. So that part of me is impressed. But the other part of me says, now that I do know about this stuff, I say, I know what it took for these guys to get that look. And,
yeah,
man, if they live past 50, I'll be a very surprised person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it worth it? Is it worth it to get that big when you could be destroying your heart or God knows what else in your body?
Right.
Is it worth it in the long run? My opinion, no.
No way. No way.
But maybe it is to someone else, not to me.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. I want to live.
Well, I think also, you know, looking at the aesthetics of the sport, I think somewhere along the line, it just went toward all mass, and we lost the idea of building this perfect human body. And, you know, the way Arnold used to look on stage, and Frank Zane, Ed Corney, you know, the way these guys posed and the way they, you know, presented their physique. I mean, that was something that I think even the average person could admire. And we went beyond that, and now the posing is pretty much lost. The aesthetics is lost. Now the drug use has gotten to the point where now they're injecting stuff. They got the oil and shit all over. It's just lost. It's lost its original concept, it seems like.
That stuff with the oil injection, so-called, that really annoys the hell out of me.
Me too, yeah.
I mean, come on, you're not even bodybuilding there.
Right.
You're injecting foreign substances in your body to make muscles look bigger. Yeah. That, to me, is the only word I can think of is obscene.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. I'm going to do an article in my newsletter about that.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize just how bad that stuff really is.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, some of these guys, you ever see those guys, they post on Facebook, the guys in South America?
Yeah. Or India or whatever, yeah.
They look best.
Yeah.
They got these Popeye, they got no forearms.
Right.
No X.
Right.
These traps that are crazy looking.
Right.
They're... I mean, I have to turn away. To me, it's like looking at a car wreck where they have limbs lying all over the road.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Right.
These guys are disgusting.
I know.
They're sick, you know?
And when you think about the beautiful physiques,
Steve Reeves.
Reeves, I was just going to say. I mean, Arnold made that speech a couple of years ago at the Arnold Classic where he said Steve Reeves used to walk down the beach and people would stop, you know. And I'm sure if you saw Arnold walking down Venice Beach in 1973 – he must have looked like a Greek god, you know?
He did. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I told you the story, didn't I, about when Bill Grant and Arnold and I went to a nude beach?
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, the point of the story, just to reiterate, this was a beach in Venice in the, I think it was around 1974 or so. We all went down there. You know, Bill Grant and I, you know, Arnold stripped down nude.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to understand, John, everybody on the beach except for us three, just imagine, a crowded, large beach, everybody there had no physique at all. Some were fat, some were skinny, but there was nobody who was muscular.
Right.
Arnold's not famous. Only bodybuilders knew him. He wasn't a movie star back then. Nobody knew him. But when he stripped down, I'll never forget the way every head on that beach stared at him. And I always compared, it would be like a UFO landing right there on the beach.
Right.
I mean, it was amazing to see. They just stared at him. What is that? And I'll tell you, the looks were not disgust either. They were just awe. They were awe. You know, it would be the look I have if I see a gorgeous woman. Wow. Yeah. You know, this look. They were looking at Arnold in awe. There was nobody going, ooh. You know,
it wasn't because he was big. It was because he was perfect.
He was perfect. He had everything.
Right.
These people don't look at muscle magazines. They had never seen a human. They didn't even know that a human being was capable of looking like that.
Right, right.
This was new to them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I told you, one guy tried to take a photo, and I told Arnold, it wasn't that Arnold was new. He wanted to take a photo because he wanted to say, look at this guy. Did you ever see a guy like this?
Right.
He wanted to show his friends.
Right.
But, of course, Arnold, you know, I told Arnold didn't get rid of the photo. So,
right,
but,
right.
But it was a funny story, but I'll never forget because that was 74. 2 weeks before the Olympia, that was Arnold's best year, you know.
Yeah.
And he had veins in his leg. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He had those slab pecs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff sticking out of those arms. I mean, oh, my God, he looked good.
Yeah, you were so lucky to be able to see that when he was
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Grant and I were both in good shape. Grant was a world-class body. I was just average body.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like invisible. I mean, nobody was looking at us.
Well,
they were looking at Arnold.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It used to be about the development of the human body as perfection, and now it's just extreme. It's just extreme size.
Yeah. It's sad, you know. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this stuff. I really don't.
Yeah.
I just from a scientific point of view, I just hope that, you know, you don't see guys, you know, dying like what happened with Dallas McCall. But, you know, some of these other guys, I hear of every so often I'll go on Facebook, you know, not necessarily the big time bodybuilder. You hear this guy, bodybuilder, drop dead. And I look, he's 35 years old. The guy had a heart attack. Why would a guy 35 years old have a heart attack?
Right. Or Dallas McCall was 25, right?
Yeah, sometimes 20. Yeah, Dallas was 26.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a natural thing.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, even if you have the bad genetics for heart disease, you still don't die at 25.
No.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen.
No.
You know, these guys are killing themselves. And that's what concerns me and really bothers me. I wish I just hope for these guys' sake that they're sensible enough to be medic. The only thing they could do is be closely medically monitored.
Yeah.
I hope that having their coaches monitor, these guys can't do crap. These guys get sick, they're dead.
Yeah.
Their coaches won't be able to do a thing for them.
Right.
They need to go to regular doctors to have themselves tested. Their hearts, their blood lipids, all that stuff.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to be dead. I'm telling you, they're going to be dead. And if the stories I heard, the drug use is true, again, I don't know. I don't know. But if they are true, these guys are like a car heading for a brick wall.
Right.
Seriously, they're going to be in trouble. You know, if they don't get a heart attack or cancer or anything like that, what's going to happen is you're going to hear about them getting serious injuries where they can't train and they have to drop out.
Yeah.
Believe me, those injuries are not just from heavy lifting. A lot of it's due to the drugs.
Yeah.
You know, the tendons, steroids have an effect on tendons where,
right.
you know, or they can weaken them. And, you know, you wind up getting this horrendous injury. Look what happened with Yates.
Yeah.
Yates, everybody, he said it in interviews, he retired because of his injuries.
Yeah.
He said, if I can't train at 100%, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's what happened with him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, well, I just hope it doesn't happen to these guys. I really do.
Yeah. Well, at least we got the past to look about and share and reminisce about that.
they say, you know, there's an old saying, you should never look to the past.
Yeah.
Or the future, you should live in the present. I'm sorry. I like to look at the past.
Me too.
You do too.
Me too.
Makes me feel good.
Right.
I guess I'm nostalgic, you know?
Right. That's why my favorite movie this year was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where they talked about 1969 Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you got to see it. You love it.
It's probably why I like time travel movies. So I love time travel movies
because
I always fantasize going back in time. You know?
Me too.
Like, you know, going back and seeing my mother and father when they were young. It's always a fantasy.
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, what can we say?
Yeah. Well, Jerry, thanks again for spending all this time. We did this last year, and it was one of our most well-received shows, so I want to do it again. And you're always one of my favorite guests to talk to, so I appreciate your time again.
It's great to talk to you, and I hope people enjoy this. You know, I enjoy talking about it. You know, I love to go, like I say, I like to go back to memory lane. You know?
Right, me too.
It's great.
And your newsletter, again, is appliedmetabolics.com, right?
It's appliedmetabolics.com. It's, you know, it's anywhere from 40 to 50 pages every month. I cover nutrition, exercise science, supplements, you name it. You know, I also include, and you can appreciate this as a long time, but I include my own experience as a bodybuilder and, you know, things I've done, which is invaluable, which can't be duplicated by anyone because it's my experiences.
Right.
Everything's up to date and the latest, and the whole thing about it is that it's very practical. I know there's a lot of stuff that I would like to write about, but you know, I always ask myself before I write an article, I said, "Can people use this stuff? I mean, is it practical? And if it isn't, I don't write about it, even though it's very interesting. You know, because I want them to be able to. That's why I call it applied metabolics. I want them, everything in that newsletter, people to be able to use now.
Yeah,
and I want to include stuff that they won't find on the web or in any of the magazines. You know, stuff that's unique.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, they should subscribe. AppliedMetabolics.com. I guarantee that you'll get something out of every issue. I promise that.
How much is it per month, Jer?
$10 a month. That's
$10
it. $10.
Wow. How much time do you spend per week working on that?
7 days a week, every day, for about a couple hours. If I'm not writing, I'm editing, or I'm, what do you call it, researching?
Yeah.
Research, editing, writing. Every single day, 7 days a week, all the time. And I know what you're thinking. Am I going to burn out? No, and I'll tell you why. Because you know the old expression, it's a labor of love?
Yeah.
I actually enjoy doing this. And the thing is, every time I do this research, I learn something. And I love, if there's one thing I love, it's learning.
Yeah.
I love to learn. So to me, it's like a kid going on a ride.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to learn things. So I never get tired of doing this. So, yeah. You know, so I love it. You know, I mean, everybody has their own thing. I mean, some people would go nuts doing what I'm doing, but right. You know, I happen to
love it. Right.
I used to guys working in construction, right?
Yeah.
I'll drive the street on a hot day. These guys are on a roof, they're banging nails into wood on 100-degree, and I look up and I say, "My God, if I had to do that, I'd put a gun to my head right now." But you know, these guys like their work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the way the world is. Luckily, we all have something we like to do, and
right.
That makes the world go round. You know.
Right.
So,
well, I'm going to apply as soon as we hang up, Jerry, because it's the least I can do for having you as a good guest on our show all the time, you know?
I appreciate you letting me mention it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the least I can do.
Yeah. All right, John. So all right, maybe we'll talk again.
Yeah.
Over a couple more years in the future or whatever.
All right. Well, have happy holiday. I hope you have a great Christmas and a great New Year's.
You too, John. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank again Jerry Branum for joining us for 3 interviews this month where we talked about 1989, 1979, and 1969. Jerry's always one of my favorite guests, and judging by the emails I get from you guys, he's one of your favorite guests too. And I also want to thank Florida Alternative Medicine and, of course, Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. As I mentioned before, please go to johnhansonfitness.com if you want to be part of the very first John Hansen Fitness Challenge. It'll be a 12-week challenge. It's going to start on January 20th, but you got to get your entry form in by January 15th, and you will get 12 weeks of coaching by me to get you into the best shape of your life. It's a great deal. Even if you don't win any of those prizes from Old School Labs or my DVDs or my books, you're still going to get a great deal, because you're getting 2 free months of coaching just by joining the first ever John Hansen Fitness Challenge. And also check out my seminar that I got coming up in Tampa. If you guys want to head out to Tampa, if you're not in the Florida area, it's a beautiful time of the year. It's really warm, but it's not too humid yet. It's in March. That'll be March 21st and 22nd. And like I said, if you join before February 1st, you'll save $100. And it's really going to be worth it. I'm putting a lot into the seminar, using all of my 40 years of experience. And if you go to johnhansonfitness.com, you can see the full lineup of all the topics that we're going to be going over during that 2-day bodybuilding seminar. All right, so that's it. I hope everybody has a happy and safe new year, and we will see you guys next week in the year 2020. Take care.